message from Dingle at 5 to 5 tomorrow morning, in Finnish at 13 minutes past 5, and in Ballybunion at 26 minutes to 6 tomorrow morning. It's 6 o'clock on Monday, April 22nd. The headlines: parents of teenage girl who died at University Hospital Limerick tell an inquest they watched her die despite begging staff for help. First criminal trial of a former or sitting US president is underway. And government says new national park is long-term investment in Kerry and in nature. That's it from News 30. Donal Barry is up next with Terrace Talk. And the next news here on Radio Kerry is at 7.
If you have a story, contact the Radio Kerry newsroom on 066 7191220 or email news@radiokerry.ie.
It's just gone 6 p.m. Noyex Newman's, for the best floors and doors in Kerry.
It's Noyex Newman's, kitchens, floors, decks and doors.
The McDonald's Chicken Big Mac is back, but not for long. So don't miss out on the three layers of soft bun. Don't miss out on the iconic delicious Big Mac sauce, those crisp tender chicken patties, that fresh shredded lettuce, that melty cheese. And don't miss those delicious gherkins, unless you want to take them out. Don't regret it, get it. From 11 a.m. until the 28th of May, subject to availability.
The Weekend Wake Up with Abigail Bernard.
Join me this Saturday morning for Radio Kerry's Weekend Wake Up. I've got the usual mix of great music. We'll be taking a look at the newspaper headlines. I've got another weekend breakfast recipe for you, and you can vote for your favourite cheesy tune after 8 o'clock. And I'm always taking suggestions for your classic album of the week too. You can email me on abernard@radiokerry.ie. Talk to you soon.
The sound of your Saturday morning. The Weekend Wake Up on Radio Kerry.
Well, a very good evening to you out there, and thanks for tuning in. That's this other Monday evening, of course, here on Terrace Talk. Coming to you as always, live from our studio here in Tralee. On the show this evening, we look back at Kerry's victory over Cork in the Munster football semi-final. We have the Garvey Super Value Kerry Senior Hurling Championship draw live view around 6:30. You can tune in for that. And then that's taking place, of course, just around the corner here in Garvey Super Value, and we'll send Ivan out for that. And then after 7, we'll get a bit of reaction from some of the players at the draw they'll be in. And James and Richard, of course, will be on around 7:15, talking about Kerry's opening win in the Joe McDonagh Cup and what a fine victory that was as well. And later in the evening, we chat to a family about returning to Ireland and within 2 years having a national shot put champion in the family. Great story, well told, as all the stories are here on Terrace Talk. You want to give us a shout or a call, 066 712 3666. Ivan will be doing the outside broadcast, as I said. Keane will be on doing the phones and sounds this evening, and text, of course, 083 300 3300, and plenty comments, of course, coming in as well. But before we start this evening, I have to say that I'm absolutely devastated to hear the news of the passing, of course, of Gerard Murphy of Castle Island. Gerard, of course, as I knew him, would probably be on the phone to me, I suppose, at least once a week, if not even more, telling me how much he enjoyed the crack with the lads. And he'd often be ringing in about great ideas for guests and topics and the whole lot. And of course, he would always try to get a Leeds corner in, which we never actually managed to do. And I knew Gerardy, of course, I suppose, down through the years, business of getting medals, like everybody else out there inside in clubs and associations. It's a tough business to be in, how many medals and how quickly you want them. And of course, you always wanted them the day after you needed them as well, which was nearly tough as well. And it was great kind of going there to the shop, particularly, I suppose, his dad Vincent. I suppose he'd regale you with plenty of stories of who came through the door and what stars they met, and there was plenty of stars often going through those doors as well. An institution, of course, I suppose, in that town. Of course, in recent times, Gerardy, very prominent role, of course, within the Desmond setup, particularly on social media, showcasing the club, I suppose, from the minute the jerseys were lined out all the way to the final score. And he'd do it kind of in a very fiercely good humoured, banter way, and you know, no matter where you met him, you know, he'd always leave a smile on your face, and never in a nasty way either. I mean, he'd always have good humour, his views were always well meant as well, and I've no doubt that he'd have loved the crack in Fitzgerald Stadium this weekend as well, dressed in his all-in-one Kerry outfit, and I suppose debating the game. And I can't help feeling that, you know, his loss on the Kerry sporting landscape will leave a massive void, because, you know, it was the Kerry sporting landscape. Well, I suppose people will talk about the J, but I mean, obviously the Castle Island Blitz, the basketball, the ladies, it didn't really matter. I remember a couple of years ago even going on the tour with the Brosna gang all the way to Croke Park. Liam, you'd have known Gerdy well, like ourselves. It's still very raw, still very sore, and you know, we still can't believe it, can we?
It is, yeah. Look, I suppose we all woke up Thursday morning and we heard the news, and you know, a black cloud descended on the Castle Island district, and even Father Massey in the mass this morning kind of said, look, even though the sun was shining all weekend, it wasn't in Castle Island. But throw Kerry, you know, it was your words there, you hit everything on the head, you know. I suppose they're in the house in Kerry that hasn't received a medal or a pair of football boots from Vincey Murphy Sports in Castle Island. We used to always have a running joke in there with the dad and himself and myself, to know that if anything happened to dad, he would always say he closed down the town for 3 days.
Right.
You know, and you know, it was funny when the news broke on Thursday, you know, the town did really, the heart was torn out of it, and he was laid to rest today, now the poor devil, but he did close down the town today. Mm-hmm. You know, it was fantastic, and a big kudos to all the clubs that came out, the business people and the schools. You know, we marched them up the town and we turned, I thought it was fabulous, like the people that came out, but we turned the corner above where the Irish school, the boys secondary, and the national school boys as well, and then the flags, and you know, it was just sad. Mm-hmm. You know, but Jordy would have loved it. That was the character he was, you know, to see that many people out, you know, because even to see small people and the tears in their eyes, because he knew them, you know, from 10 years of age up to 17, 18 years of age, they all knew Jordy, and he's going to be a big loss.
Absolutely massive loss. John Kennedy, I suppose, look, people say institutions and people say, you know, he was a lovely fella too, wasn't he? You know, like, he'd always had a smile on his face, he'd always had a bit of banter, he always had a joke. And he was fiercely Kerry G as well. I mean, he'd have had some views on Kerry's performance at the weekend.
Oh, huge. He was a sports fanatic, as you said, first of all, but he was a real proud Kerry man, and any inter-county player that went in, they were special. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember the last time I was in, that was for trophies for our development at home, but you couldn't go in and go out with your no. Delay.
It wasn't a 5 minute appointment.
No. And
if we were shopping in there, if a Kerry footballer came in, forget about it. Absolutely. He'd leave it on the shop. Like.
Absolutely. But he was a mind of information. He was interesting. And he was interested in everything, mm-hmm. You know, and he'd always be asking how were things going with different teams. The family, they're an institution in Castle Island, and you know, Vincent and himself, they were amazing to go into, really. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, they looked after everybody as if they were the only customer they had, and the business was really appreciated. And every time he went in, he had a ball or he had something to sign. I remember the last time I went in, he had a ball to sign, and the goat was on it, Morris Fitz and a few of the, and I said, Jordy, I'm not in that league at all, really. And he said, this is for medal winners only, he said. Right. You know,
no, Liam Brosnan.
And you know, but he'd blow you up, like, he'd make you feel, you know. But you know, our condolences to all the family, and like Liam said, you know, a sad weekend in Castle Island.
And the thing with Jordy was, like, before the internet ever came to play, Jordy was the internet in Castle Island. We used to go into him when we were younger, and he'd have the big notebook down the back, and you were able to pick out your sneakers or your football boots, and you would have them within a couple of weeks, you know. And they came from all over. No, from Killarney, from Tralee, basketballers, footballers. When we used to get the football boots inside with Kerry, you know, they mightn't fit you properly, or you had a pair already, you want to change them. They all came to Jordy.
Yeah.
You know, he was what, that guy that everyone used to come to, and nothing was any trouble to him. You know, at times, all right, you go into him, he might give an old bark, but once you understood who, his character and everything, it was grand. But you know, it's just a pity that we're all going to miss, you know, this character that we see above in O'Connell Street. when Kerry were playing, he'd dig from head to toe in green and gold, taking photographs. That was his thing. I think it was after one of the All-Irelands, he told me he took something like 300 photographs with different people because he was dressed up, and he just loved that. That was him. And you know, there was an article in the Cork Examiner written by Maurice Brosnan, and I think it was fantastic. Yeah, and like, we have characters like that, and I suppose we don't appreciate them until they're gone.
Yeah.
And I think with Jordy gone now, I think he's going to leave a big void in Castle Island, because he was, like, I was always saying Vincey was the king of Castle Island, but he was Jordy was the prince, and he was, because everything, you know, he was always around. And though it's you know, it'll be for a while now, people will find it hard to get used to not seeing him around.
Absolutely. It was a great piece by Maurice Brosnan, of course, Castle Island man as well, told from the perspective of being a local. And you know, sometimes when you're writing kind of maybe that kind of raw story, it's well told, and like you said, it can be replicated.
And we don't appreciate the Geordies all over the place. Yeah.
We don't appreciate the Geordies till they're gone. Arish Dagher of Dealish, Geordie Murphy, and I'm sure he'll be looking down on us all through tonight's show anyway, because he'll probably be contradicting most of you from what you're going to say. Jack O'Connor said after the game, Liam Brosnan, it was a mixed performance. We certainly looked early on as we were a bit off the pace. The whole day kind of seemed a little bit that we were off the pace, but we were on the pace enough to get the result. And move on, and that's kind of what it was, really, was it?
It was. Look, I suppose it was disappointing with aspects of the way we played, but you know, we kind of dug out a result, and I suppose that was the main thing, was to get a result out of it. You could see there was a bit of rustiness there, you know. I suppose with our holiday camp, but there's been a lot of training done, probably not as many games, so it took a while for us to get into it.
They hadn't played in a month, I suppose. I mean, I suppose people are saying, why were they rusty? I mean, they were over in Portugal, they should be flying off the boat, Bolt or that kind of way. You mentioned the word disappointing. What in particular was disappointing?
I just thought, look, you know, I suppose our handling. You know, there was opportunities where we could have pushed on. There was, you know, very silly mistakes, as you could call it, and all the small things that you wouldn't see Kerry teams do. Defensively, I thought we were, you know, our old kind of failings are still there a small bit when teams run at us, you know, which is a fear. I don't see a structure there. No, that's the one thing, that when we won the All-Ireland 2 years ago, there was a structure. You could see everyone kind of had a role. I suppose with Jason picking up the injury as well is a big loss. Things had to be juggled around a small bit. But I don't see a pattern in our play at all yet. No, it's early. And it's, you know, we've won the final in 2 weeks and stuff like that. But at the same time, I'm still watching them out through the league, and I'm watching them the last day. I still see... Like I said, there is no structure for me, even our attacking structure. What game plan? You know, are we just going out and having a go? I'm looking at Sean O'Shea and David Clifford to dig us out of a hole every time. The one thing that I suppose that was a positive for me the last day was I saw Darragh Mihan getting on the ball and kicking scores.
Two good points.
No, he was getting into scoring positions, and we need fellas like that. Killian Burke, I thought, had a very good first half as well. People were wondering why he would have been taken off. I think they were just kind of, he's after a hamstring injury, so I'd say they were keeping an eye on him. They don't want to, if you pull that, you'll probably miss the season.
Mm-hmm.
No, so they're kind of monitoring that. But over, like I said, overall, I think the result was more important than the performance.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
John Kennedy, Sean O'Brien, Killian Burke, of course, making their senior championship debuts. And so too Adrian Spillane. I mean, when you think about his debut from the start in the championship, it's a difficult step to go from the league into championship motion. How did these three boys get on?
They did okay. Do you know, I mean, without being brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, it was a battle. You know, Cork threw everything at us. They seemed
but
like...
But that was to be expected, surely. Absolutely. I mean, last year we were talking about the goal that was or wasn't and the whole lot. I mean, that was the talking point out of that game. If anything, we were probably a little bit more structured this year, maybe, that we kind of reeled them in and got out of jail, maybe. But the way Cork set off...
Yeah,
they really had us under massive.
Their pace and their running through, like Liam said, you know, that failing. But when you change around your system and your personnel, particularly in the backs, Jason Foley's a huge loss.
Yeah.
You know, you're upsetting your defence. You know, Tadhg Marley went into the corner. You know, you had your Graham O'Sullivan going out to the wing. That stability that we had. Gavin White, not a centre back.
Yeah.
You know, he's a real weapon going forward from the half-back line, but not from the centre. You need to keep that centre closed. Our midfield were under pressure. Ian McGuire and Colm Cahan caused a lot of problems. Cork were slicker. They seemed to be at the right side of the break. You know, they were ahead. Hurley was really almost unmarkable inside, in fairness to him.
Never has a bad game.
No, very good footballer. And that's what we need, is to be asked those questions. But, you know, we came through 12 points from the full forward line. And like Liam said, Dara Mine kicking too. Shawnee Shea, he's back in the groove. Mm-hmm. We'll be looking for more half hour line, I think. Yeah. You know, our two wings. Killian Burke, if he did pick up some knock or something, it's a pity he didn't get 70 minutes in Championship, because, you know, he won't get the same intensity against Clare, with all due respect. But look, it's a bit rusty. It's a difficult transformation from league to go into Championship. Cork had that game under their belt, which was a help.
Yeah.
But when all is said and done, we got the job done.
Yeah. The most alarming thing for me early in the game, I mean, Cork came at us, but they had a lot of one-on-ones with us. I mean, obviously, I suppose maybe just the structure of I suppose the extra man back was missing, because Morley was now marking, I suppose, and, you know, he admitted himself he wasn't at 110% either on the fitness. And then if you look at the full back line, I mean, it was made up of half-backs, and half-backs aren't cornerbacks.
Yeah. And plus, Cork moved the ball lively. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and if you move the ball lively, you're going to beat any mass defence. And they did move, like... And they stopped it really after 20 minutes, don't know.
Why so, do you think so? I mean, it was unusual. People in the stand were saying, God, we're going to be in for an awful terrorising
year. Yeah, they were coming at us at 100 miles an hour.
Slow down. What, was it a case that they kind of even fell from an early stage, we've enough done and we'll just kind of catch them on the counter? Or was it maybe Cork themselves kind of ran themselves into the ground those 20 minutes?
Well, I think that'd be a lot of it, I suppose. Look, we always spoke about Division 1 and Division 2 football and stuff like that. There's a big advantage because you're playing at a high intensity in Division 1. Now, it looked like Cork probably, the legs kind of went a small bit and they were trying to recover and get a break, but they could never get back into the groove again. Like, they threw everything at us for the first 20 minutes and, you know, we soaked it in. They called them, and then I suppose after that much effort and not to get the big reward that they should have got out of it, mm-hmm. it can hurt. But the last 5 or 6 minutes as well, when we were up to 2 points, I suppose people we will get text messages about it, that they didn't come out and go at us. That's something I suppose the management will have, the Cork management will sit down, like if Kerry are up 2 points and they have the ball, you got to push out, but you know, is that down to Division 2 and Division 1 football again, and maybe Cork were happy with just kind of showing up and not getting hammered, you know, what you know, but it was, you know, I just think that we were just that little bit experience. And I suppose, and like I said, the Division 1 and Division 2 football, there's a big difference.
I think most people leaving Fitzgerald Stadium expected we'd done enough to get out of jail, but I mean, we were red hot favourites going into John Kennedy. We were in Division 1, not like last year where we were struggling in Division 1. I mean, we won 5 games in the league, we were going in good form, we were the beaten All-Ireland finalists, we were up that level. Cork, for everything you read about them, are down and they're struggling and they barely got out of or stayed in Division 2, maybe even stayed in the Championship, and yet our defence creaked, but our forward line for the first time had an awful lot of uncharacteristic mistakes.
The head, which was unusual, it's a topic over the last 2 days, Donald, is that the first touch wasn't good, in control, losing it, you know, and particularly when you see the likes of David Clifford, he turned manny, he was gone and lost control, not typically the man, in fairness to him, because when they get, so it's just that bit of rustiness. But I think if you look at all the games in the Championship, a lot of the top teams like Galway, Mayo even, you know, Derry certainly, they weren't firing, so you know, maybe there's something to read into that as well. But look, we got the result, but we found it difficult, I think, when Cork ran at us, particularly Matty Taylor and Ian McGuire in the middle of the field. You know, Corbett had a great chance of a goal, went over the bar. Cork needed those.
But I just think Cork as well gave up the Kerry kick out too easy. They never pushed up on us. I think we had 18 kickouts and we won 17 out of. They didn't push up on us,
and they weren't really competed for it to
win. No, they weren't competed for it at all. Whereas in the opposite side, they had 26 kickouts, and I think we won 7 out of their 20. You know? So that 7 meant a lot. You know, you're putting pressure on them. I think you have to push up on the kickouts. I think you're throwing up the white flag straight away if you're going to be, you know, kicking the ball out, letting a team kick the ball out to a corner back or a wing forward or wing back to bring it up the field. You know what I'm saying? I think that's something that Cork didn't.
Cork's form coming in, Liam. Their backs are to the wall with 3 games to go in the league. Like,
yeah.
Hold their position. Keep, as you said, Donal earlier on, stay in the centre.
They're certainly on the rise. Like.
They're certainly on the rise, yeah. No doubt about it.
And if you look at underage in the last 5 or 6 years, no, we're never running away with games against them. No. So it's the players are there, yeah, just to. Yeah.
You just want to go shopping in Mahon Point. And you want to be nice.
That was a couple of years ago. I'm still living off dice. I'm embarrassed there from still dice.
don't know.
I'm not allowed in there at all yet.
You'll be lifting there. Come here. We got to half time. We'd reeled Cork in a small bit, maybe, I suppose. We began to dominate a little bit more. How much of that, John Kennedy, was Cork letting us back in? They kind of gave up after 20-25 yeah. minutes. Or else. Could they not keep that intensity going?
Yeah.
Like the other thing about it too is that it was probably the first fine day of summer.
Yeah.
And we got a couple of comments about the Sahara sand. It didn't arrive by accident. It was around the field. would that slow players down? I mean, the hop, the ball not coming back in. Has that a bearing?
Definitely had an effect. Do you know, I mean, Fistula Stadium is always renowned for being one of the finest sides in the country.
Yep.
Maybe it's down to the weather, getting yep. sand out.
The rain, we're after
the
getting
rain,
like, yeah.
All that comes into it. They're all contributory factors. And definitely, when you're talking about control, it would have an effect and it would sap the legs as well. But I think Kerry's experience, what they've built up over the last number of years, they wore Cork down. They didn't do panic, in fairness, you know. And they particularly Seanie Shea, I think, you know, he took on the responsibility and he kicked 3 or 4 points in the first half. Likewise, David Clifford. Even though people say David wasn't firing on all cylinders, he still ended up with 4 points. But, you know, certainly after about the 22nd minute, Cork seemed to drop and Kerry increased their intensity, made a few changes, tactical changes, and I think they worked. I think the centre was closed up and the gaping holes weren't there and the runs were stopped.
My gosh, words were stopped. Well, listen, we'll stop for a quick break and we have a couple of comments coming. We have loads of comments coming and we'll get through those after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
A message from Kerry County Council. Works to install new cycleways and footpaths on Upper Rock Road, Killarney, will begin on Monday, April 22nd. One lane of traffic will be closed between the Cleaney roundabout and the Rock Road car park to accommodate the works, taking place from 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Monday to Friday. Outbound traffic on Rock Road will not be affected. Inbound traffic should divert via the bypass and Lewis Road and the Hans Lieber Road and New Road. Local access will be maintained. Further information is available at kerrycoco.ie. Kerry County Council thanks you for your patience and cooperation.
Looking for great value on household, pet, hardware, power tools, farm essentials, gardening products, clothing and footwear? Then check out the fantastic range at farmandhomestore.ie. Sign up today for 10% off your first purchase. Don't miss the calving promotion now on at Kerry Agribusiness Farm and Home Stores around the county, offering fantastic value on all calving essentials, including calf milk replacer. For quality service, visit farmandhomestore.ie. Easy shopping, fast delivery.
Order your new 242 Skoda today at Liam Lynch Motors Farran 4 and avail of our unbeatable 0% finance offer across the entire 242 range, including service plans from as little as €10.99 per month. Terms and conditions apply. So don't delay, call today to Liam Lynch Skoda Farran 4.
Hello, 7122633, Roger Harty Opticians.
Hello, Roger. Where are you?
Stand in front of Dom O'Donnell's. Look across the road. If you can't see me, you need to see me.
Well, I'm upstairs, downstairs, looking for my glasses.
Not a problem. I've got 3 pairs of prescription glasses for €100. And remember, for your eye care, we care.
At the hall on Denny Street.
Brian Murphy, appearing at Tog Sus with Mary Conroy, live at Cheam Satira on Wednesday 24th of April. Tickets from Cheam Satira on 066-712-3055 or online at cheamsatira.com.
It's what every school kid wants. The afternoon show homework off voucher in association with Quinlan's Fish.
You're first class, right?
Yeah.
So does first class mean that you're the best class?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And third is the one with the hairy chest. I haven't heard that rhyme for years and years. Is that still said? Do you still say that?
If you think your class deserves one, then ask your teacher to email brendan at radiokerry.ie. The Afternoon Show Homework Off Voucher, brought to you in association with Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located throughout Kerry.
From the sidelines to the stand, Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. We're talking about the Munster Senior Championship semi-final. Kerry's win, it feels like a defeat for some reason. A lot of the comments coming in, they're either on the border of negative or they're fairly negative. Ivan, of course, has skipped out around 6:30 there. We will go live to Garvey Super Value there in Tralee for the Garvey Super Value Senior Hurling Championship draw, and we'll talk about that in on as well. Now, Neil Furter, Donore, County Meath, thanks for joining us, Neil, this evening. Even though we won on Saturday, it was disappointing performance on par with our season to date. Some of our key men are not in form and it's worrying. We seem so passive without any urgency in our play. One thing they need to change is put Morley back at six or maybe Breen at six, but we need to sort out the middle channel. Just what you were saying earlier, I suppose, and I like the way that John Kennedy kind of said it, you keep that door closed at six. It's a crucial part of the jigsaw, isn't it, centre back?
We've said it here 2 years ago, it was a problem. Mm-hmm. And Jack and the boys, they put Morley in at six and Jason inside, and they had either Paul or whoever as the sweeper, and you know, it stopped that avenue up the centre. As I said previously, when you make changes and you take guys out, it's difficult to fit in there, and you know, it was a gaping hole for maybe 15-20 minutes the last day. They addressed it, but I think going forward, 3 and 6 are vital. Mm-hmm.
And not only that, we're taken away from Gavin White's game.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, can you remember any lunging runs that he had the weekend? No, there wasn't too many of them. No, the Gavin White runs that he usually has.
He was under more pressure coming forward anyway,
but because see, that's when
he was tracked fairly lively, and they forced a number of turnovers off him, actually.
Yeah. No, so I think he's more flexible and more at kind of at wing back. You'll get a lot more out of him. Whereas when you're a number six, you're in tight, you're kind of going to wait and stay there anyway and kind of hold if you can. Whereas it does
it restricts his natural talent, doesn't it?
Yeah, I thought we lost that from Gavin White the weekend.
Hi, Donal. Kerry looked very rusty, will need to improve a lot. They have plenty to work on. Hopefully that game will sharpen up a bit. You can only get better, as Charles out there as well. How come, Donald, the handling was so bad given we just had a week in Portugal to sharpen up on all of that? That's from Mossy. I think Jack O'Connor alluded to the fact that the trip to Portugal, Mossy, a lot of it was done kind of talking maybe in the heat, you know, game plans and setting up scenarios, and hopefully that is that. Hi, Donald and the boys. How are you, boys? Lads, we know. Only call them lads here and there, but we'll call them boys.
Call it that worse.
Kerry were lucky to win, but they should have beaten Cork by 7 or 8 points, as Cork are only a Division 2 team. The quicker Jason Foley comes back, the better for the next couple of matches, as I couldn't see Kerry going too far. The midfield need to pull up their socks and work a little bit harder. And Pauly Clifford wasn't himself at all. He should have buried that goal at the back of the net. He also kicked 3 wides, and Kerry and Roscommon were the only 2 counties that didn't score a goal with all the matches that were on over the weekend. Well spotted, Eilish, in Tralee. We don't create a lot of goal chances anymore, Liam.
No, and even through the league we haven't.
No.
So, and I made the comment here before, when David is kind of 1-on-1, it's more of a bullet than the gooch long goal. You just pass it into the net. So it's something, hopefully, as time goes on, that we can work a bit more, will win matches.
Is it a skill that we don't teach anymore, John Kennedy? We don't seem to have. I was even at an under-13 match last night, and normally there'd be goals flying in. The score was 2-10 to 2-15 or something. There wasn't a whole pile of goals either. And if you go down through the leagues, I mean, obviously the under-9s and 11s, there's goals going on. But the further up you go, there's less and less goals scored.
Less and less. It's a lot. You see, it's defensive play now, Donal, and you know, they're not taking on the half chance. They're going for the point. Mm-hmm. We kicked 18 points. But like, you know, I suppose of all the games at the weekend, the Donegal game was an exception one. But other than that, like, you know, it's conservative. It's taken
only
the
got
option.
One goal chance, and that was Boddy's chance the last day. Other than that, we really had no glaring opportunity. No,
and the defensive set up now, they don't generally, with numbers back, there are not a lot of goal chances, but when you get them, you have to take them.
But be fair to Cork, I didn't think they had any kind of zonal defence in a sense.
They went man to man.
Daniel Mahoney done a great job on Davis.
He did, and look, you could see David there at the time that he probably did miss the ball once or twice. He wanted to take his man on. He was ready to go, and just that little...
It was from a mark situation. We were always talking about fellas getting marks and kicking points. I mean, David got a mark and he said he was going to go
He wanted
goal.
To go. You could see there was a goal in the back of his head and he was ready to go. So it's only small little margins, and if we can get them right, I'm sure he'll hit the back of the net hopefully by the time the end of the year comes a few times for us.
Yeah, Donal Kerry will improve, just take a little more patience with him and time. It's only April, there we go. Remember last year it was only February, it was only March, it was only April. Point given. Donal David Clifford's form is an actual worry. He was well beat by Daniel Mahoney for those who were not at the game. They read the reports and see that David scored 4 points, but there is an underlining worry. You kind of mentioned that, all right, John Kennedy. Yeah. You know that he didn't play well. He still scored four points. It's still an incredible amount of.
Ah, it is. I get an all-star if I did that.
if you look at it, compare it to the hurling there, look at Gerard Hegarty and Keane Lynch.
Yeah.
League hurling.
Yeah.
They were off.
Yeah.
They turned around
championship, yeah.
So championship
in the space of 10 minutes when they needed
exactly.
To,
so yeah, yeah. You know, I wouldn't worry about David. Like if it was anybody else, you'd say. But
there was so much attention. There's so much attention always on him anyway. Yeah. You know, so I think if he
does, he get measured in the answers. Obviously,
he does
by an unfair stick.
By his own big high caliber, anyway, he gets measured, and I think that is there's no fear, David.
Yeah. The standard he has set, and we have to give credit to Kevin Welsh the way he is the Cork defence. Their defensive structure, even though they have a lot of numbers back, their tackling is very good. You know, they're getting hand in, hand out, close, continuous marking, and that's what Mahoney did with David. You know, sometimes you think he's going to foul him, the hand comes back out, and then it's gone in again and flicks away. Well coached.
Like, I'd be happier with David kicking 3 or 4 points and everybody else kicking 4 or 5 points around him.
Exactly.
Because I know when the big stage comes, there'll be that David will chip in with his bit. So we need everybody else to come up as well.
Donal, Cork were great value. Cork got great value of their direct ball and their hard running and held their position bravely. But Kerry began to pick them off because they were probably more professional. Now, I don't know if they were more professional, but maybe more experienced. might be the right word than that. Donal, Kerry just can't cope with a direct style of football played against them.
I don't think many teams can. Yeah. We saw Donegal and Derry the weekend. No, teams are so focused now on defensive setups that if teams move the ball, transition, this word transition we all hear about, if you can transition it fast out of defence, and teams are really under pressure then.
Yeah, this team need to wake up. We're all wide awake, to be fair, caller. There was a massive roar for the Cork goal, lads. There was a great buzz. It felt like a Munster final. Haven't seen this in a long time in Fitzgerald Stadium. When Cork got the goal, I mean, the place kind of shook a bit, all right, to be fair.
It did, yeah.
So early in the game as well. The atmosphere at it was 17,500 people. The day was absolutely fine. And a lot of people talking to me during the day, they didn't go to the game. They stayed in town, watched it on telly.
But traditionally, the Cork supporters love coming to Killarney.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they'd hardly go to Partnakeeve, but they'll come to Killarney for the weekend. You know, so there was a great atmosphere. And of course, the sun shining then as well. You know, it was kind of Munster. It was a kind of a Munster championship kind of weather.
And to be very fair, the first 20 minutes felt like a throwback to the old days where it was just direct football. There was chaos everywhere.
Fellas
were kicking ball, chasing each other. They didn't know
there was goal opportunities.
There was goal opportunities. Yeah. And it just felt, John Kennedy, after the 20th minute, both men just said, oh, hold on here, lads. This isn't what we came down here to do at all. We go back to where we're at. But that first 20 minutes of entertainment value alone for that game, that was fantastic.
Oh, it was. And it set the tone. You know, people are talking about that. It was a decent game overall.
Yeah.
But the first 20 minutes, it had everything. You know, goal chances and missed chances and misplaced passes and stuff, but it set the tone and it was a great start to the game.
Fantastic. Now listen, setting the tone, we will go live to Garvey Super Value in Tralee for the Garvey Super Value Senior Hurling Championship draw, and we join Ivan Hurley.
Hi Donal, welcome here to Garvey Super Value, where the draw has just started. So obviously the championship this year, two groups of three and one group of four, so they were going through the various different ways of getting another seeded team from the two semi-finalists last year. So obviously you had Lixnaw and Prata, and Kilmoyle came out of the draw. So we're just going through the different groups. So group one was Prata, group two Lixnaw, group three Kilmoyle. St Brendan's going to Group 2. Sorry, this is literally live as we speak. So Group 1 is Croagh O'Neill's, Group 2 is Lixnaw St Brendan's, Group 3 is Tralee Parnell's Adelaide, and of course their first year in the championship with Kilmoyley. Ballyhigh into Group 3. So this is just going to take a second to figure this out. Benny Duff into Group 1 with Croagh and St Brendan's. Abby Dorney with St Brendan's. We're going to have to go through this again, Dawn, because it's happening very quick. Dr. Croaks into Group 3 with Kilmoyley and Ballyhaig. We should have one more team then. Into Group 1 will be Causeway. So we go through this now in full again, just to make sure we're right. So Group 1 is Croagh, St Brendan's, Ballyduff and Causeway. Group 2 is Lixnaw, Tralee, Parnells and Abby Dorney. And Group 3 is Kilmoyley, Ballyhaig and Dr. Crooks.
CCC will leave in the next week or so to start planning this year's championship. And though we want to again thank Derby for their continued support. Thank you for coming on to help out with the draw and everybody else who joined this evening for the draw. And we want to wish the Kerry Hurlers the best success over the next 4 weeks. And of course, for the championship, wish all these teams the best of luck.
So I'm not sure if you can still hear me, Donald, but Group 1 is Croagh, Ballyduff, St Brendan's and Causeway. Group of Death, you could say, in that one. Group 2, Lixnaw, Abby Dorney and Tralee Parnells. And Group 3 has Kilmoyley, Ballyhaig and Dr. Croaks. So quite an interesting draw. I think Group 1 is really going to whet the appetite of everyone, seeing Croagh, Ballyduff along with St Brendan's and Causeway really four very strong teams in Group 1. Group 2, Lixnaw, Abby Dorney and Tralee Parnells. Tralee Parnells will be decided to be in a group with the likes of Abby Dorney and Lixnaw, and then Group 3 Kilmoyley, of course, Kingpins with Ballyhaig and Dr. Croaks as well, who are playing their third year at senior level. So quite an interesting draw. I think it's always going to be a very competitive championship with 10 teams in the senior hurling championship in Kerry, but that one really after opening up things, especially that Group 1, it keeps drawing the attention back. There was a good gasp of breath from everybody here in Garvey's when Group 1 was drawn. Croagh, Ballyduff, St Brendan's and Causeway. So that'll be quite interesting. Very much looking forward to seeing those matches done and how they go.
At 7 o'clock, and of course we'll get a bit of match direction for that as well after 7 o'clock as well. So Group A, Croagh, Ballyduff, St Brendan's and Causeway, God help us, whoever drew those are going to be in trouble. Group B, Lixnaw, Tralee Parnells and Abby Dorney, and Kilmoyley, Ballyhaig and Dr. Croaks, of course, playing their third year. Ballyhaig haven't won for a while. Kilmoyley, I think the last one was in 2021. Lixnaw, of course, in Group B, they lost the final last year, of course, to Croagh. I think it's 2018 was the last time they won. Tralee Parnells, of course, welcome back to them. Their name, of course, will be on the history books from the very early 1900s, but reformed and back hurling a senior championship, won the intermediate last year. And Abby Dorney have a long wait all the way back to 1974. Wouldn't that be amazing to round it off with a 2024 win? And in Group A, the champions, Croagh, they could not have asked for a harder group. Ballyduff, St Brendan's and Causeway. And of course, Causeway previous winners in 2022 as well. We'll talk a bit more about that, of course, after 7 o'clock. But for now, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back to more football.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Omega oils are essential to our overall health, playing a vital role in heart and cholesterol health, brain function and joint health. Our bodies cannot produce these oils and many of us are simply not getting enough through diet alone. Supplementing with a quality fish oil can offer many health benefits. For advice on which one suits your needs best, call into your local Horns Health Store. 17 stores nationwide.
Hi, David Clifford here, brand ambassador for Hearns Motor Group Castle Island, to tell you about their huge demo and used car sale event, which is now on. Choose from over 150 top quality used cars of all makes and models, with savings of over €5,000 on some ex-demo models. Warranties and low rate finance also available. Terms and conditions apply. So call to Ahern's Castle Island today Phone 066 714 3000 or visit aherns.ie.
Join the Queen of Country, Margot, with special guests David James, Shuni Cramsey and the Ryan Turner Band on her 60th anniversary tour at the Gleneagle INEC Arena on April 28th. Tickets from €30, available from INEC.ie. Don't miss Margot with special guests and MC Dermot Moriarty on April 28th.
Go full Lidl for exclusive Lidl Plus Super Savers. We've got family dinners covered for less. Get two fresh salmon darns worth £5.19, now £4.15. And fill the fruit bowl with crunchy pink lady apples worth £2.99, now £1.99. Activate your coupons, scan the Lidl Plus app and go full Lidl today.
For centuries, the sea has sculpted the Dingle Peninsula into a place of renowned beauty. The perfect setting for Louis Mulcahy pottery, crafting memorable treasures for 50 years. View their stunning range of pottery online or travel back west to explore their workshop. Oscailte Gach Law, Igrílor, Curcha Guina. Check out louismulcahy.com.
This Friday, Kerry Today will be broadcasting live from MTU North Campus for a networking event called Connect with MTU. Join Gerry as he chats to participants from companies, startup businesses and community groups interested in innovation, sustainability and lifelong learning. The university's research centres, academic departments and startup supports will all be there from 8.30 to 11am. That's Kerry Today, live this Friday from MTU North Campus as part of the networking event Connect with MTU.
Breaking down the weekend's sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now get your comments into us here. We're talking about Kerry versus Cork, of course, the Munster semi-final. Kerry, of course, won it. You wouldn't know, I suppose, tonight. A lot of people feeling like we lost it, but we didn't lose. We did go on to the next round. A lot of people, John Kennedy, want to talk about, I suppose, they say the last 5 minutes. I don't think it was technically the last 5 minutes, but definitely from the 65th minute to the 71st minute. Kerry done maybe a Dr. Crokes, did it?
Well, I suppose it was a 3-point game, Donald, and you know you get.
And what we're alluding to before we start is obviously, like you said, it's a 3-point game. Kerry had the ball and they decided to hang on to it for quite a while.
Yeah, it's becoming part of our game now. You know, you'll just wind down the clock. You're a few points up. You know,
Cork never came out.
Kerry did what they did and did it well. Mm-hmm. But it was up to Cork to come out and press him and put him under pressure. They didn't do it. Like, Kerry were just over and back the field. No point in giving away a ball and conceding a goal at that stage. Yeah. And they did it.
People got fairly angsty in the stand, though, to be fair. I mean,
it's not what people want.
They want the ball thrown in high and long. But obviously, that's not going to happen in today's world. I mean, the ball gets turned over your old position. They're down the field. Like you said, a goal in the back of the net straight away. It's not what they come to watch, but it's become part of the game, Liam.
It has, yeah. And look, Jack O'Connor wanted to win, and the Kerry management, so and the Kerry players weren't going to kick the ball into maybe 7 or 8 Cork defenders inside the full back line. And when they weren't coming out, sure, all you do. And I was even kind of saying, just hold on to it. If they don't want to come out, we'll hold on to it till the final whistle. You know? And that was, I suppose, the one thing that was disappointing with Cork, to know that, Jesus, were they happy just to be beat by the couple of points and go away with a moral victory? No, you need to push out.
What should Cork have done at that stage? Like, I mean, obviously come out and try and tackle the ball and the whole lot, but then they get opened up.
You might as well be beat by 10 points as beat by 2 points. You know, you have to go at it. If they pushed out, there might be a turnover, there might be a kick back to the goalkeeper, they might have intercepted it, but the way they were playing, there was going to be no turnover. That's the way football has gone now.
Jack O'Connor alluded to be fair to him. He said, that's not what the crowd might be looking for, but at that stage of the game, we were 2 or 3 points up. It was up to Cork to come out, and we weren't going to force it. And we worked the ball well, and Mike Breen slipped the ball into David for a free, so I wouldn't be giving it a 10 out of 10, but it was an efficient performance in the second half.
That's where a bit of experience, you know, when you're at that level, that you keep it calm. Like I said, the fans mightn't like it, and that's what they paid money to go in, but unfortunately that's the way football has gone now, until they maybe tinkled rules a small bit and get away with that.
Yeah.
But like, Cork were sitting back, they had 14-15 men behind the ball, so we didn't, like, Kerry weren't going to kick the ball in. No, so like, it was just, I suppose.
Well,
you couldn't blame Kerry for it.
I suppose, as we said earlier, Donald, the first 20 minutes was the opposite.
It was all chaos.
In fairness, it was good game management by the players. to just close down the clock and get over the line.
And that's interesting you mentioned the players. I mean, at some stage on the field of play, Jack isn't obviously running into the field and saying, do this now, lads, and the whole lot. Who takes charge of that situation? Is it the more senior players? Is it the guy in the ball? Is it three or four fellas kind of just keep it together? How does that message get across? Or does it kind of ripple effect that the players know what's happening? Because Shane Ryan got on that ball, three or four times, to be fair. You know, came back to the goalie and back out again, the whole lot.
A lot of it would be experience.
It would be experience. And it wasn't percentage stuff either. They were comfortable giving the passes.
Yeah.
They weren't under pressure.
They were all 20-yard passes. The Cork player within, within
and
distance.
All these games would be behind in corners as well. You have all these scenarios to know that we're up 2 points and we hold on to the ball. And also, they would have have gone through these scenarios in training anyway as well. But it was made easier when Cork didn't come out and mark them.
Yep.
You know, because it was just handy passes, like we could pass around the table here. There was no pressure put on them.
You understand, it goes back to basketball, there's 4 seconds on the clock and you have to foul your man to send him down to get the baskets, and hopefully he misses and you get the ball back again. There's a bit of that to it.
There's a bit of that to it, and I suppose, look, the way the football has been played now, it was a player's kind of program defensively. What I couldn't understand is, and you said it there, Dolan, that you think on your feet when you're on the field. No, the Cork players, was there any responsibility out in the Cork players to say, lads, we got to push up here, we're down 2 or 3 points? Were they waiting for the sideline to say it? They just sat back.
The only thing, Liam, is when you have possession of the ball late in the game, it's a lot easier to keep it and move to keep it than when you don't have
You don't have it,
You're running. And you're running nowhere, closing down, and it's sapping the energy. Whereas you're dictating when you have the ball.
Exactly,
Lovely comment coming in here. Donal, Niall Callaghan, not only would he have pushed up, he'd have pushed them out as well. I'm sure Niall would certainly have done it. Going on to Cork, a call in there from Rob O'Keefe from County Cork. Thanks, Rob. And away from the match, but kind of very, I suppose, tied in with the match as well. First of all, it was great to get back to a great venue like Killarney for Cork versus Kerry. The new road makes Killarney very accessible now, and one can get there in no time at all. The town was buzzing with colour, and the walk up the Lewis Road in glorious sunshine added to the occasion. However, the situation at the turnstiles entering the terraces was nothing short of ridiculous, and thank God there was not an incident. With people's patience, the only reason an accident was averted. Kerry J would want to be seriously assessed this. If there was 20,000-25,000 attendance, I would have been seriously worried about the lack of safety, crowd planning and stewarding. Well done to both teams on a great match, and that was Rob O'Keefe. Certainly, probably between the hours of 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock, particularly after 3 o'clock, there was a good squeeze outside the gates of people coming in and not knowing what section they were going to, and some people went to sections where they were, I suppose, the gates weren't basically open is a thing. Maybe they were never meant to be open, but it's kind of a worry. And of course I got on the Kerry J, and of course it's run, of course, by Munster Council, and Munster Council, of course, bring in their own stewards and all that, and all the guys in the yellow jackets are, I suppose, they're not Kerry people, I suppose, is what we're saying, and maybe whatever. But it is kind of a worry, you know, that somebody comes to a game, they feel they're going to be crushed going in the gate, and the whole lot obviously didn't happen. And look, obviously people will probably look at it and review it, and I suppose there's a fella sitting down this evening all over the place on Zoom calls and saying, well, look, this is something that we need to brush up on the whole lot. Should there be more gates opened?
Well, I suppose, look, the pressure at the gates comes on probably the hour before the match, because people will spill out of the bars and they'll head up.
Yep.
I suppose that's something that the Munster Council will probably have to look at, you know, maybe have a couple of gates opened and be ready for that influx.
It's a pure Irish thing. We all want to go, but we all want to come in the gate to it half 3.
Like, I love going to matches early, you know, you meet people, not only that, you watch the warm up. I love watching the warm ups and stuff like that, but it's not for some people. They'd rather rock up 10 minutes before the game, and there's a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
And then I suppose there is pressure at the gates, so many people can go in at a time.
And of course, the process of the gate is slower now. Before you go in, you show your ticket off, you went, now you have to have it scanned, you must open your phone, you must. It slows down the process for a lot of people, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And like Liam said, part of the problem is last minute. I won't say an hour is a good time, but if you have 7,000 or 8,000 people coming in the last hour, you know, that doesn't belong building up at the gate.
Yeah.
You're saying the slower process, and it's something that's difficult. You go to Croke Park, equally.
Yeah.
Same story, you know, simple stadium, you know, if you go to a hurling game there, it's the same thing. The people leave it to the last half an hour, 40 minutes, all of a sudden then they're giving out. You know, if you're there the hour before it and you're in, it's comfortable. But it's
and then
it's
the other side of that, John Kennedy, and it was a gripe I had last year. I mean, if anybody that knows me would know I'd be there 4 hours before, and then I'd be sitting in my seat and everything would be like, I absolutely hate the crowd that come in at 10 to 4 and push you in off your seat, and you're there and you have a nice little corner, maybe you're an aisle seat and all that. Next thing, there's some fella pushing you in, and oh, will you just push in another small bit? And you know, other supporters are squeezed that way.
No, it's my pit here, Donald, and whether it's Croke Park or wherever it is, guys coming in, the game is on. Everybody has to get up to him in. Yeah. Then they find out when they're at the end of the line, they have to go back out again. It's terrible stuff. Yeah. It's terrible stuff now.
I was talking to a Cork person actually after the game, and they were saying that some fellas came in so late they were asking who scored the Cork goal. Well, it was scored fairly lively, to be fair, and that's all part of the process. Yeah, absolutely. We talked about the buzz of Fitzgerald Stadium. I mean, when Fitzgerald Stadium showcases itself, I mean, obviously the sun was out. I mean, the field, it was, I suppose, to be fair, it was a battle between Cork and Kerry, a tradition that goes back forever and ever, and it will continue into the history books on that. But the overall atmosphere, Liam, do you know, was it a good day for kids and family and the whole lot? I mean, you had a bit of sun, you had the thing. The game mightn't live long in the memory, but the whole process of the tradition of bringing your kids back to the Munster thing.
And I suppose if we go to the Cork roar there when they got the goal,
yeah,
you know, that was like the roar long ago, you know, there was that rivalry roar, you know, that kind of a thing. We were all kind of going, oh Jesus, what's going to happen here, like, because they were after missing a goal
I remember the first roar, it was John Cronin's roar the day that we had no chance of beating them in 91, and Kerry had gone, I don't know where, we were never winning Munster finals, and that roar, I mean, people jumping up and down off seats and knocking each other over. It brings a great joy to people, doesn't it?
It does. And that occasion, I can think back to the one in 98, and they had to be left in behind the goals. And there was such a crowd there, and it was just that roar, and the sun was shining in like the last day. And you know, there were things that we were brought up in, John, when you were playing as well. Like, they were just amazing, and it was nice to see it back, because I thought in the last couple of years above in Cork, it had died down a small bit.
Yeah.
You know, the day we beat above in Partney Ring, and we beat them by 12 or 13 points. And I met Cork people coming out the door that day, and they were happy that it was only 12 and 13. And I was saying, where's this gone? Like, you know, is the Kerry Cork rivalry gone? This bad, you know, so it's nice to see kind of.
And you do
back,
need it, John. I mean, look, we're looking at Ulster. I mean, Leinster's probably gone to the dogs, and in that sense, Connacht still kind of has it. I mean, Sligo at the weekend, you know. I mean, if they had a bit of luck, they'd have been Galway, you know.
Very
you know, so they're kind of still in the mix. But in Munster, it's dying a small bit. But uniquely enough, Clare are in their second Munster final back to back in something like, I don't know, 70 odd years or something. You know, they're building a small bit of momentum. Obviously they're big, I suppose, dusting down they got last year. I mean, they will learn from it. New manager as well.
Yeah, it's great for Clare, and Clare are all, you know, in the last number of years under Colin Collins, and now Mark Fitzgerald, you know, they've done really well.
Great league campaign,
and you know, went to the last day. Promotion was decided by the game of Inverurie, so fair play to them. And you know, it's Sam Maguire status retained, but going back to Cork, like, you know, tremendous rivalry, friendly rivalry, great banter. Going back to old time, I remember, you know, you'd be in the Park Place, you'd be going up through the crowds, and you know, Mico and Bomber and Jacko, in particular, when they'd come out, Paddy Shea, God be good to him, you know, the Cork crowd, there was a bit of banter going on. That was part and parcel of it. You didn't get that in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, but you got it in Fitzgerald Stadium, and a brilliant venue. Cork people tell you they love coming down.
They travel strong,
yeah, and it's great to see Cork coming back, because Munster football needs them. They need them, definitely. We still like to beat them, but you need them.
You just stay ahead of them.
Slightly.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully we'll stay ahead of them for another small bit longer anyway. Donald, did Cork just run out of gas? High intensity, kicking and attacking. It was non-existent for the second half. I think we kind of feel they did, to be fair to them.
They threw everything at us, and that was as good as they had. Yeah.
That's it. What more can we say about it? I say we've done fairly well looking after a game that most people kind of figured out was probably a bit on the bland side. I mean, at the end of the day, Jack O'Connor won. He was delighted to get out of that. Cork probably have their, I suppose, they've got good markers all as well. Let's quickly, with 4 minutes, let's quickly go to Ulster. We're met up with Ulster. Donegal, huh?
Well,
he's winning matches.
Fair play to Jim McGuinness.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's come back in there. By what we hear, the team looked in super shape.
And I got a lovely quote during the week of something. Jim McGuinness, the guy who destroyed football, only to come back and save it.
Yeah, they played very, very well. They attacked, led and orchestrated by Ryan McHugh, I think. He was absolutely brilliant.
And the Derry goalkeeper.
And the Derry goalie. But they went at it.
Poor Mr Lynch, no, we don't call him.
They went at it, though, in fairness. They had a few debutants there. You know, McBrearty back, a structure about them, playing with a passion.
I couldn't believe their speed in their transition.
Yeah.
I mean, they got out fairly quickly and they travelled down the field at a speed of knots. Plus, they were very accurate at the other end.
Very accurate. Tremendous fitness built up. Mm-hmm. Great pace, you said, the transition. And above all, they're playing for McGuinness. You know, total contrast to the Donegal of last year and the year before. And, you know, they're a team that, regardless what happens next weekend, they're a team you wouldn't like to draw later on.
No. Derry, on the other hand, Liam, I mean, Conor Glass and the boys, they've been on the road a long time now. I mean, is it only kind of science that they're going to quake a small bit?
Yeah, and I think this will suit Derry. I know the loss will hurt, but I think this will suit Derry because they'll have about 5 weeks now to get things, a bit of a break and to get things in order, whereas Donegal will have to go out next weekend, and usually whoever comes out of Ulster and the Ulster Championship is well beaten, you know, physically well beaten by the time they come out.
There's
of
an awful strain put
there,
on.
There is, you know, because it's week in, week out, whereas Derry now will go back to the drawing board a small bit, and there'll be a crowd now that'll go in as what they win, seed three, is it in the division, in the groups now?
They could end up with us anyway.
So I wouldn't like to be facing into them now. But you've got to give it to Donegal, like John said, flying fit, do anything for.
And yet they're no way close to winning an Ulster Championship yet. I mean, they obviously have to overcome.
They have a long way to go yet,
more games.
But it just goes back to our point, and we spoke about it here. Will the goalkeeper stay and sign goals?
Well, you leave poor Mr. goalkeepers.
And farther they're coming up the field. Before the goalkeeper would come out to the 45, maybe.
To be fair, not many teams will have a Sean Patton that can kick a ball 80 yards.
It's something, and we've seen it down to, with last year, to goalkeepers are getting longer with their kickouts.
Yeah.
Now, we could have got a couple of goals down with, and we did a couple of years ago.
We got one already, sure, in the league this year. Didn't we catch him as well?
That's right, yeah. Like, if he stayed in goals the last day, like, Derry could have won that game.
Yeah.
That's the margins you're talking about. I know we're looking at this new age football and we're trying to invent stuff, but by God, bringing the goalkeeper up for kickouts, it's kind of, I don't know, it's a bit.
Jesus, about 15 minutes
you're
ago,
going to be
you were saying it was great stuff to hang on to the ball for 6 minutes.
Well, that's all right, when there's no one marking you.
I'd say you'd make a great selector, actually.
Well, the goalkeeper would be standing goals, wouldn't you?
You'd have the same amount of arguments for taking him off than leaving him on.
Get midfield, take off the corner forward.
The poor corner forward. Yeah. Listen, guys, we will go at it again next week. We'll do the preview next week as well. And we look at the County Championship, obviously, in Kerry as well. A lot of detail. I met a guy at the weekend. He said, will you, for the love of God, please explain it some night on Terrace Talk, and we'll do it next week. Number of changes coming into the coming championship. The districts are still there anyway, don't worry John, if you're listening out, we're not getting rid of any districts. We will make it slightly harder for them to get into the actual championship proper, but they certainly aren't going away, and there will be more clubs on the way in as well. But up after the break, 7 o'clock, we're going to turn it over to hurling. Fantastic result yesterday for the Kerry senior team in the Joe McDonough. Nobody saw that result coming, certainly not 2 of you anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably didn't even know they were playing hurling, did you?
We did.
You're awful bad footballers. But we will talk to a couple of the lads involved in the Garvey Super Value Championship as well, and get a little bit of reaction to the draw, all that after the break. And we will go to news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, let's change from football back to hurling. And first of all, congratulations to the Kerry team yesterday. Fantastic result in the Joe McDonough. And we'll talk about that maybe about maybe 25 past. And we might bounce a few questions maybe off some of the lads here as well. But delighted to be joined by Liam Ross, the Kerry Hurling Officer. It's a small enough title, Liam, is it?
It's a small enough table, but it's a big enough role.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say it's a very diplomatic role, is it?
Oh, it is, yeah.
And of course, you have to be massive diplomatically this evening because you've done the draw. The groups, three groups, as most people do. The family's getting bigger, though, isn't it?
Oh, it is brilliant. Like, I mean, you said, look, you have panels at it this year, which makes it 10 teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose, like, you have Crokes, another town team, and panels, another town team, which is great that you're spreading your wings a small bit in, and you're getting out of the knock area. So-called areas.
Fair play. I love the way you said they're town teams. You know, it was kind of like, oh, they're town teams. You know, they might be like town football teams. Might have good corner forwards. Like, is it?
Oh, they have good hurlers too.
Good stuff. And of course, it is. And I suppose, to be fair about it, it is. the aspect of growing curling within the county. I mean, they talk about the football championship and not having enough senior teams. I mean, to have 10 seems to be incredible, particularly, I suppose, most of them are dotted around. But you're talking about Parnells, for example. I suppose a lot of good work to get up to this level, and they've progressed, and that's what you want to. You want clubs to progress to a level where this is, I suppose, this is the ceiling. This is really senior hurling with the boys.
Look, I mean, I suppose senior hurling championship in Kerry probably is the flagship, you know, where everyone wants to be. And look, fair play to Parnells, like I mean, to say that they are after throwing the lot in this year after winning the intermediates, you know. And like, in fairness to myself, even playing the Munster intermediate game, junior game, and like, the weather was poor, and I'd say if they had a finer day, they probably would have won the first round, you know. Mm-hmm. So like, it is great to see them back into the Knockery or the county scene.
Fantastic. And of course, Crokes in their third year, and all the rest of you are there for the last 3,000 years playing it and trying to win it. And it's still one of the hardest championships to win, and it's going to be a lot harder this year, particularly in Group A. Group A, Crotter O'Neill's the champions, Ballyduff, the gang who kind of are always trying to win it, and they've won a lot of them. St Brendan's, not too shabby either, and Causeway, of course, winners from 2022. Did you pick that group yourself?
Not me anyway.
You can't go to Kilflin and say that's the group we have.
Liam might have picked it out there. It's a
it's a terrifying group, is it?
Sure.
Or are you terrified of anything having won it last year?
You have to play what put in front of you, I suppose. You can't pick the draw yourself. So yeah.
But it must be lovely as a Crotter man to see Crotter going in as top seeds this year.
It's nice, yeah.
And you're not worried about what other top seeds you might meet along the way. Obviously, you seem to admit it, nearly all of them, I'd say. But it must be great, and a great achievement. Are you over the celebrating now? I mean, is all that done and dusted, or is it still chatting about it?
I know, celebrating's done now. New year, new team. You get going again once the training starts back in January. The fellas don't be long coming around, and the lungs might be heavy at the start, and fellas are getting going, but new year, new team, so back to reality again.
Yeah. And do you feel a little bit more pressure on you this year? I mean, last year, I suppose the pressure was on you, hadn't won it in 50 odd years, and maybe more and more, and that kind of stuff. But this year, you're going in as champions. You're going in as, I suppose, the target's on your back. I mean, everybody wants to meet you, everybody wants to beat you. Does that add a bit more? Do you go in and say, listen, we have to give an extra 20% now this year because we are champions?
I suppose hasn't been thought of until really I got the text about to come to the draw during the week.
You had other worries.
I had other worries. There's enough in my mind, but in fairness, you have a target in your back, like, yeah. You are the champions. You're just trying to play it as good as you can, and probably you will have to be a few steps ahead if more than last year if you're to do as good or if not better this year. So
yeah,
you have to be on the ball every day, or else someone is going to clip you and. Yeah. You're there to be taken off.
And when you were celebrating last year, of course, Lickstad, you got so close, but just not close enough. When you go back to the dressing room after that game and you say, God, you know, maybe we didn't play well enough to win it, we kind of left it behind, does that kind of, when it swings around to January and say, we're not off the pace here, lads, I mean, we're in the mix, we don't need a whole pile to get back in there again, are you still kind of close? Are you still saying, yeah, you know, with a bit of luck we could travel this journey this year?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think if that's not your mindset going into any championship, you're probably wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
But look, I mean, it's a tough championship to win, you know. It's tough for teams to win it back to back. Any championship in Kerry, you could make a case for 4 or 5 teams at least. So yeah, I think when we look back at it, we were obviously disappointed with our own performance, but yeah, definitely, we'd always back ourselves when it comes to.
Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty about it, Liam, too. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. You could throw 5 or 6 people in at the start of every year and have a real debate about every one of these teams have a chance of winning it. Is that what makes it so hard?
Oh, it is, of course, because look, all the boys are grown up with each other and they know each other and they know each other's style and things like that, you know. And look, on any given day, any team in the Kerry Senior Championship has real ambitions. Can win it, you know, because like at the end of the day, there's going to be a puck of a ball between them all.
Speaking of that, you haven't won it since 2017. Are you going a bit stale out in Ballyduff, are you?
Oh, well, we're
you can take off the county hat now. You can put on the green jersey for a while.
Oh, yeah, look, I mean to say, look, they're a young team. I mean to say, they got a few minor finals and, you know, and an under 21 title. And look, they're young, they're growing, and look.
And a club like Ballyduff has massive tradition. I mean, it's nearly expected of young fellas, and you kind of maybe don't give enough time to kind of develop. And you want to win, and you want to win. And if you don't win for 2 years or 3 years, there's a mini drought, and there's a mini this, and we're not doing the right things. But Ballyduff, you know, they can get themselves in the right place fairly quickly when they need to.
Look, I mean to say, the coaches in Ballyduff are just unbelievable. Like, I mean to say, the young fellas that won the failure last Saturday evening, I was at the two finals, and in fairness to Kilmiley and Ballyduff, it was a great game of hurling. The skill levels was just unreal, and the other game between Parnells and Ballyhigh was just, there was only a puck of ball between any of the four teams, you know. And look, on any given day, like I mean to say, once you have the coaches in place and once the players are listening to them, they won't be far off the mark.
Mm-hmm. The Crotta win last year, obviously, I suppose people were saying it was an awful long time to win it. Did you feel a lot of pressure going into that final, knowing that, God, you know, we've been here a few times before and we didn't get over the line? Or did you have a different mindset?
I suppose,
obviously, you didn't lose it the last couple of times because there's new players coming through.
We'd say the 2011 final, them losing that, but most of the fellas hadn't, like only two fellas played in that, and most fellas hadn't seen in another final before that. So it was a new thing to us, so we didn't take much notice as such. We've all played different finals up along, so we've played county under 21 finals and minor finals and stuff. So it's nothing, a final is a final, and you try to enjoy it and take every step as it goes in the day, because it don't be long finishing and an hour and a half later and it's over, and you have to have memories from it. So you took it every step as it went, and eventually we got there.
Absolutely. And of course, Lixnet 2018, I mean, obviously you have plenty of memories that still have you.
Good
memories.
Not so much of the game, but the days after this, and the right,
yeah. But that's part of it too, isn't it? I mean, it's you put in the incredible amount of work, you play your games, you might get the rub of the green, you might play outstandingly well, you might just have an off night some nights, and the whole championship is gone on you. But I mean, when you do win and you get over the line, you're entitled to that kind of week, 2 weeks. You're entitled to be the kings of Kerry, I suppose, at that stage. And it's probably celebrated a little bit more because you're all living in each other's pockets, that kind of way. Whereas if you win, these Kerry win, I mean, obviously they're out of West Kerry's way for a while or South Kerry's way, but you get the chance to walk down. Well, surely you cycled into Kilfinn like that night, did you?
We didn't. We stayed well clear of it that night.
And 2018, when you had the cup, like, you stayed out. Okay. Yeah. But what's it mean to the club when you bring that home?
Oh, it's massive, yeah. I think it's only when you kind of go home and you have the bit of a homecoming or whatever, and you see what it means to the older generations and things like that. Like you spoke there about tradition. Tradition is huge, like in North Kerry hurling especially. And it's great to see it spreading spreading as well. Like, but yeah, it's massive. It means an awful lot to an awful lot of people. So yeah, I think those nights when you bring it back, it kind of really hits on.
Yeah, it's kind of hard as well. We're trying to explain something that you understand totally. People listening tonight in different sides of Kerry say, well, sure, it's only the hurling championship, the whole lot. But when you get to the end of the line, the hurling championship, and I've said it here in Terrace Talk, it doesn't compare at all to the football championship, the final. I mean, you go in, there's atmosphere, there's flags, there's kids, there's schools that won't even talk to each other because they're probably on different sides of a ditch and the whole lot, and it brings all that kind of good stuff that's in tradition, Liam, together, and it's for all the world. I mean, it's a championship of hurling, that's a festival of hurling, and there has to be a winner, and the winners love to enjoy themselves, obviously, and they're the kings of that part for 12 months, but you have to give it back as well, don't you?
Oh, you do, of course. Like, I mean, say, look, last year's final between Crotty O'Neill's and Lixnet, I mean, to say, it was the biggest crowd that was in Austin Sex Park in a number of years, you know. And, like, as you said there, the atmosphere just brings, like, I mean, to say, we all have gone to county football finals, and it just doesn't bring the same.
That magic is missing, is the magic. Is it a magic because your neighbours, your very close neighbours, and you said you're growing up together and you're playing at under 12 and 14 and 16, you're probably playing in schools together with each other and against each other. Is that the kind of magic, the real rivalry? It becomes a rivalry.
I say, look, Bill is half a Lixnet man. His mother's from Lixnet. You know? So, like, I mean, to say,
we're not meant to out him like that.
You know, so, like, you have all that as well, like, and I mean, say, look, it is great, and you probably banter in the house as well, like, you know, okay, probably his mother, true crotchety woman now, like, you know, she mightn't like me saying it, but, like,
she probably isn't, is she? She's probably still Lixnet, did she? Did she give you a scolding for beating him?
She's a crotchety woman. My grandfather played her crotchety, like, so she's a crotchety woman, yeah.
You have the passport?
I have the passport, yeah.
Have you any mixed relationships?
No, I don't.
100% licks now.
100%, true and true, yeah.
Yeah. No secrets being left out. And of course, the Boyles are as 100% as they come in Lido, are they?
Well, there'll be other people saying that from the other part of the parish, like, you know. So
We won't go there.
But they're true and true, Ballyduff.
You're inside the ditch, anyway, that's all that matters. Come here, let's go through the group. Group A, Crotta, Ballyduff, St. Brendan's and Causeway. Very tough group, Liam.
It's a tough group. But look, I mean, you go back a number of years ago when it was straight knockout.
Yeah.
You could be meeting any of them teams anyway, like, you know. And look, at the end of the day, two teams are going straight to quarterfinal and the other two teams then are going to preliminary quarterfinals.
Yeah.
So look, they're still in there. They'll have three games in the Senior Hurling Championship, and look, that's what people want.
So only two teams won't get out of Group A, basically.
Two teams won't get out of Group A, yeah.
I won't ask you for who you think they'll be. I'll ask James McCarthy that afterwards. He'll give an answer for that. Group B, Lixnaw, Tralee, Parnells, Abbey, Dorney. Abbey Dorney, last year's league champions. Lixnaw, of course, in the final last year. Parnells, their first year. Must be hugely exciting for Parnells, first of all, to be in the draw, and I suppose their jersey is with everybody else's jersey now at that same level as well. It's going to be tough for them, obviously, stepping up. I mean, look, the champions elect, maybe Lixnaw, are they? The pressure on you. You're in that group. And Abbey Dorney, who haven't won it since 1974. I think he had the last longest streak, Crotta, in 74. So maybe, and you know, it's 74, 24, maybe history. You'll never know. I mean, put it in. That's an exciting group. And Group C, obviously, for the people on the South Kerry side, Dr. Crokes, Ballyhaig and Kilmoyley. God almighty, you put James McCarthy and Rich Dard into the wrong group.
Well, I've no doubt they'll talk themselves out with anyone when they come in here.
And then you gave him Dr. Crokes for fun as well. Come here, Liam. The games won't start for a while, obviously, and hopefully they won't start for an awful long time, because yesterday was a fantastic result in the Joe McDonough. What has that done for Kerry Hurling? The result alone, I mean, Jesus, when it came through, I mean, people were jumping around the place excited, and no notion about the hurling at all, and it probably eclipsed the Kerry football result at the weekend.
Oh, it definitely did. Like, I mean, they said, look, I mean, you say you can talk to Bill there, like, I mean, you say, but in the camp, like, I mean, you say, in fairness to the management, they have fierce belief in the camp, the players that they have, and like they always said, trust in your own ability.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you say, if you had the press conference there and they said that they're going to give one hell of a shot, and just the league form was pretty poor. You know, but I suppose fellas just didn't probably back themselves. But since the league campaign was over, the amount of training that the boys have done and the management talking to the players and just got them focused and in fairness all week, and even in the dressing room on Saturday, on Sunday, like they were well focused on the job at hand, you know.
Yeah.
And like they hurled like as if their lives depended on it, and in fairness, it was a cracking game of hurling, I must say. I think the best game of hurling that I've been involved with Kerry over the last 2 years.
Yeah. And Bill, to be fair, obviously you had a great view of the whole lot. You were in and out for a couple of minutes as well towards the end of it.
A couple of runs, yeah.
You got a couple of runs a few times. I want to ask about the game or the structure of the game, because obviously that's Stephen and the whole lot. But the aftermath of a result like that, because obviously, look, people are knocking on your door all through the league and saying, oh, you didn't win this and you didn't win that. And the pressure kind of builds fairly or unfairly at times. And you probably know it, and you say, God, you know, we could have done better or whatever. And next thing you see yourself coming third or fourth or fifth and you're slipping down the league and all that. And then you go into the championship, and outside the camp, and certainly outside of Stephen Malumphy, because Stephen Malumphy talked to you up no end at all. I mean, backs to the wall, there's something in this group. I mean, they want to play, they want to be here, they want to perform, they will perform, they will get their win, because they're working hard and a whole lot. But outside of that group, very few people kind of gave you a chance. Do you work on that? Do you hear that noise outside and fellas saying, Irish, God help us, they'll get hammered by Westmeath, they won't match the whole lot. Do you turn that into a positive? Or do you just, is that just blind noise? I mean, do you go to training every night and say, listen, I don't really care what people outside the camp saying, this is what I'm here for?
Yeah, it depends who you are. Like, some people might and some people mightn't. You kind of try and get on with it, and nobody likes losing games, so you have to keep going to training and train as hard as you can every day and try and push yourself in the game just as hard as you're going to push yourself in training. And that's what helped.
Did you know going into the Westmeath game that the turn was going to be taken here? Did he know that, look, you know, we're not as bad as this, we're not that far off the mark, if we get a bit of a start here today, we'll be well in contention?
Yeah, I suppose every player had belief. Like, you don't go into a championship game without having belief that you're going to win the game. It's a waste of time going up and playing Westmeath without having a bit of belief that you're going to win the game, and it's only a waste of a journey anyway. But in fairness, every fella showed they had belief and worked out well yesterday, in fairness. So it was a nice day out.
Nice day out.
Yeah.
You stopped for Supermax on the way home and everything, did you? he says it like a crotty man. Come here, that result, looking in as well, I mean, put in perspective for us.
Oh, it's huge, yeah. It's absolutely massive. Obviously, when you're when you're not involved looking in from the outside, you haven't a clue of the mindset or the approach by the players. But knowing Stephen and his management team, you knew that they were going to go in well prepared. Yeah, and when you see that, when you see the players on paper, like, you know, there's very, very good players there. Like, so yeah, it might have came to shock a lot of people, but you know, to some who knew the boys and played with the boys, they're well capable of picking up results like that. So yeah, look, they're in a great position now. Hopefully they can kick on.
God almighty, the pressure you put on you there, Bill. Well, was that a bit of Lixnaw kind of undermining Cotter there, kind of just for the crack, was it?
No.
Good stuff. Come here, Liam. When do we start the action? We don't have any real dates yet, but obviously it's going to be after the Joe McDonough Cup final.
It's after the Joe McDonough, probably 2 weeks after the Joe McDonough.
Yeah, and the games run off week after week fairly lively.
The games run off quick then. I mean, it's Terence Rowland and the CCC will be making the fixtures and sending out the dates in the next probably week or so.
Jeez, if Terence will have a Clarkland team in it next year, will he?
Well, in fairness, there was a hurling team in Killaghlin one time, so...
You go looking for it.
Terence might start it up again himself.
He's very busy, man.
Time in there, I don't
Jesus,
think.
Not at all. With all the fixtures, and he's training ladies' team and everything, so he's very busy man out here. Listen, guys, the very best of luck. Bill, congratulations yesterday. The very best of luck. Really mean it. I mean, there was a lot of pressure on the Kerry hurlers. It was a fantastic result, a great result, well-deserved. And it kind of proves as well that no roads without turning. But obviously, you know, the next game is going to be far more important than the next game after that. But hopefully, you will be in good state. And we'll all watch it from and on. And hopefully when you get your business done, the Joe McDonough, you can take a week off maybe and roll up the sleeves and get it back into club action.
Back into action. It'll
Jeez,
be
you don't give much time off, Joe.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you can look forward to those groups, and particularly Group A, obviously. Crotty Ballyduff, St. Brendan's and Causey. Who would you like to play first? Get him out of the way. What team would you like to get out of the way? We might fix
toss
that.
Toss
a coin. Or maybe Ballyduff. We'll get him out of the way. St. Brendan's and Causeway. And of course, in Group B, we have Lixnaw, Tralee, Parnells and Abbeydorney. And Group C, you have Kilmiley, Ballyhaig and Dr. Crokes. And listen, the very best of luck to you. You always do your business quite professionally and quite well. And big thanks to Garvey Super Value as well for sponsoring the competition. And we'll talk more hurling, believe it or not, after the break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
There you go, we're talking hurling all evening, and why wouldn't we after that fantastic result in the Joe McDonough Cup, and delighted to have Richard and James McCarthy, who surely must be very happy after that first round game. Richard, first of all, starting with yourself as the slightly more positive of the duo, you did feel there was something in the team. You did say give him patience. You were drumming that drum that we lost 14 established players, but the boys will get their act together. How pleasing is it for you, first of all, as a Kerry hurling supporter? And I know we didn't win the Joe McDonough, and I know it's only the first round, and not getting too carried away, as some person has already said, you're getting far too carried away about the whole thing. But it is, in this journey of these players, a monumental result.
A monumental result, Donal, because you have to remember that this Westmeath team pushed Limerick all the way in Division 1 in the National Hurling League. Actually, it was the 63rd minute when Limerick got a goal that gave them a bit of breathing space against Westmeath. So any team that can push Limerick all the way in the league has to be a good team. So we were going up to play Division 1 team with that sort of record, and I suppose the talk all week was, look, once we don't get a hammering, because we obviously things didn't go too well for us in Division 2, and going up against a Division 1 team, it was daunting. But how wrong the people were. The boys from the very start tore into Westmeath. And what a result. What a result.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you were listening to Bill there as well. I mean, on the Kerry panel, of course, and he's saying, look, the belief was within the camp. You didn't want to be just going up. I mean, it would be a wasted journey if you didn't compete and the whole lot. They competed from the word go. I mean, they got their, were they up 4-0 at one stage? I mean, that's a quick gallop away as well, because at the end of the day, they had the 6 points. But I mean, the fact that they nearly bossed the whole game, they led nearly from start to finish, if they did lead from start to finish, actually.
Yeah, it really, Tommy Doyle's goal late in the second half brought Westmeath back into it, because, you know, Kerry were going well at that time, and it brought it. But then Kerry pushed on again, and then they closed the game out. You know, they closed it out very, very well after that. And, you know, it was an amazing performance. But I was talking to someone that said, look, that performance was there, but just to bring it out. And, you know, we saw them in the Munster Senior League, how good they were, you know, how slick they were against Tipperary and against Waterford. We didn't see that in Division 2A, unfortunately. You know, there was injuries and there was just, it didn't come together, but it came together yesterday.
Mm-hmm. James McCarthy, we're always kind of finding performances that stand out, and yesterday obviously everybody on the field, but your own buddy Morris O'Connor, I mean, how pleasing are you for a club man that to think that he can kind of maybe step up to the plate at that level and score 110?
Yeah, it's super done. In fairness, he's Massey had a rough old time in a couple of Joe McDonald finals. He might have got kind of railroaded early and taken off early in those matches, and he really had something to prove. And I think yesterday really showed the kind of player he is. Like, he got 9 frees, got 1 man from play, like, but it was his general play. It was a whole general play by all the team done. Like, you saw Ronan Wells got 3 points from wing forward, so now Maxi got 4 points. It was just, nobody saw this coming. We can't fool ourselves. We won't give a start that much credit now. He didn't see this coming now. Like, nobody saw this coming. We started Del Rice, like a Westmeath team that beat Antrim, ran Tip and ran Limerick close. We weren't supposed to get the races, Tom, but you know, thank God that the players didn't listen to any of this rubbish. And maybe we're in their own camp, they had that belief. And you know what? I'm delighted for Kerry Hurling. Now, look, we're not after bad performances, whatever, in the 20s and that. And if this gives the whole county a lift, then everyone should kind of get behind the team now. And look, I just said, don't get carried away, but geez, the rising tide lifts all boats. And we saw the draw for the Kerry County Championship there just shortly a while ago. It all lifts. There's all a great feeling about Kerry Hurling now at the minute, and the boys should keep it going. And I'm delighted for them, delighted for all the lads on the team and the management team, because they were under a bit of pressure. It was a terrible league. We won't paint it any other way. It was a terrible league, but maybe we're a championship team. How bad is that?
It's not bad at all, because it's the one that you want to win, because James McCarthy always says, never mind the league, let's try and win the championship. Come here, Richard. Let's talk about two other players on the team. Two players that, I suppose, at different ends of the spectrum, really, on Kerry Hurling. Fionnuala McAsey, who has really knelt down that kind of centre-back position, the man mountain of the team now at this stage, I mean, really stepping up into an experienced role. And Luke Crowley, who's at the other end of that spectrum, and obviously everybody over in Glenfleske, even though he plays with Rathmore, and his mother's from Filemore as well, of course, that always helps, in his first competitive start for the Kingdom. I mean, he was absolutely sprightly and lively for the 40-45 minutes that he played, and McAsey's role as well.
Well, you see, Fiona, well, I prefer to see Fiona going forward, actually. I prefer to see him going at half forward and attacking and going forward and going for scores. Sometimes he has to drop back, and you know, he's an attacking player. He's a very, very big man. He's hard to stop. So I'd love to see an attacking Fionnuala McAsey than a defensive Fionnuala McAsey. We've got to do Crowley. He came out against Waterford, and the first 2 balls he got, he ran at them. Mm-hmm. He had a very good game against Tipperary, including he scored 1 beautiful point from the sideline. But sure, he's an excellent athlete. You know, we've seen him play football for years. And I know he was playing minor hurling for Kerry. I remember him, and he was small, but he was really aggressive. And now, like, you know, as I said, when he came on against Waterford, the first 2 balls he got, he says he ran at Waterford. He wasn't afraid of them. He ran at Waterford, and he put in a great display against Tipperary as well. And he's a superb athlete and a lovely hurler, and certainly he's a massive, massive addition to the Kerry hurlers.
James, as you know, you win a game that I suppose most people don't think you have a chance of winning, and then all of a sudden the spotlight is on you and we're talking about you a bit longer on Terrace Talk, and you're going to get a couple of extra columns in the papers, and I suppose even on national TV people will say, oh, Kerry had a surprise win over Westmeath. How much pressure now is on the lads and Stephen all of a sudden for the next game?
Zero, tell you the truth, zero. Because you have to.
God, you really killed that question, James, didn't you?
No. There was no signs. There's no pressure. Absolutely zero. Because, like, they were a team with nothing to lose. A team with nothing to lose is very, very dangerous.
Is there something to lose now, James? I mean, down are coming now, and people are expecting a result. People are expecting a second win, a win over Down. Is that pressure there? You obviously think not.
No, I don't think so. I think last Saturday or yesterday was the pressure off. They needed something. They said, where are we? Where is this team? What actually are we? What do we have in the locker? Now we can see what's there. No, all you got to do is just keep up to that bar. You've raised the bar onto that level. Stay at it. I think, don't even look at yesterday, that was the best Kerry team that we've had out this year. Bar maybe Dengog and Shane Conway maybe popping for that team, and maybe bar a few retirements, and maybe a few fellas that couldn't commit to the panel this year. That's the strongest team we had. And like, I was delighted to see that. So, I'd have no fear of these lads. There's actually more in that team. There's more they can do. Like, this is a statement win. Yes, it was against Westmeath. But I think Westmeath have had a hard Division 1 league. That's a tough league, and they've been battered and bruised every week. I know they ran teams close, but and they beat Antrim, but that's a tough division. Maybe we were doing our work in the background, maybe we knew the league, maybe it's gone beyond us, which maybe didn't commit as much, but I can see from at the minute, like the way they're going, there's no pressure on this team. Just, and go in there next week against Down and really, really show what you're worth, because Down have been kind of a sticky one the last couple of years for us.
Mm-hmm.
So go in and just carry the same momentum and play the same way, treat Down the same as you treat Westmeath. Just take them apart, really. I think that's the way it should be.
God, I imagine it's a simple enough game, then, James. Come here, Richard. The same question, maybe with slight thing. Will you go in with that attitude? Let's blitz Down on we're doing, or will you say to yourself, "Well, look, we have one win now. We might go in a little bit more carefully."
No. You go in with the exact same attitude, of who you're playing against. You go in with the same plan to go in and win well next weekend against Down, and there should be no change of attitude whatsoever. Look at, and I know people I know are saying, "Actually, we're safe now. We're safe in the Joe McDonough." No, keep the foot on the pedal now, and just keep going. Keep the momentum going throughout this campaign. Keep it going.
And when people think about it, they probably don't think how brutal a championship the Joe McDonough is, but Offaly got caught by Laois, Westmeath lost to Kerry, and the two boys, Offaly and Westmeath, must play each other next week. So, James McCarthy, barring a draw, one of them are going to be in an awful bad position facing into round three.
They are, that's a fact. But I suppose, you look at before, Donald, we've got to John McDonagh finals losing two matches as well. So, results could be a bit odd, and I don't think the Offaly result is a surprise. I thought Laois are a better team. Laois are a better team than Offaly, I think myself. And I think Laois and Westmeath at our top two. Maybe we were coming in there somewhere. I was hoping for our own that level, but you know, things change as things change overnight. You can see yourself, but I really think there's a real chance to dig in now, because we have history in the Joe McDonagh. We've got three Joe McDonagh finals, and we haven't won one yet. But like this could be just one year. You're not expected to win it. Maybe our name's on the cup. You never know, like Coventry yesterday, you saw all those things like that. Like we could be the next Coventry. Here we are out of nowhere. And all of a sudden people are looking and saying, "Hang on a minute." They're taking notice of it. They'd be wary of us. But to be maybe forearmed, maybe, you know what I mean, is kind of a bit of danger in that too. But look, this Kerry team, play without any restrictions, without any worries about what people think. You just go and do what you can and show what Kerry Hurling is, because it's not as bad as people make out. And maybe we've been critical at times. I've been critical at times because I always want the best for Kerry Hurlers, but I'm delighted after the result yesterday now.
Well, there you go. We better end on that final positive note, Richard and James. That's James McCarthy, delighted at the moment. Listen, it was a fantastic win. Thanks for joining us this evening. We'll talk again next week, and hopefully we'll have a second win to Joe McDonagh. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, how difficult do you think it is to get settled into a new country where everything, I suppose, seems familiar, but your parents kind of have installed that little bit of Irishness in you? But what's it like to be the new kid that arrives from America and, I suppose, picks up the pieces through sport? Well, my next guest, Kieran Maloney, is joined by Dad Peter. Delighted to have him both in studio. And, of course, he's just become the National Under 14 Shot Put Champion. And it's a great story, and one that we'll tell. First of all, Kieran, congratulations. Before we end with the medal and the celebration and all that, let's go back a small bit. Where were you 3 years ago?
Well, I lived in upstate New York, just mostly playing basketball and a bit of swimming too. Didn't really do any athletics then. Yeah. But
and then somebody says, "We're going to Killarney."
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, my dad's job, he had an opportunity to move there, so we decided to. We were originally going to stay there for a year, but we decided to stay there for longer. Also, we during COVID, like, we hadn't visited family here for a while, because he's from Limerick.
Yeah, we won't mention
West End.
We won't mention Limerick here. No, God Almighty. We will talk about Abbeyfield in a second, because some of it's on Kerry as well. But talk to me. So the move. Talk about the move. I mean, was that traumatic? I mean, traumatic might be an awful strong word, but I mean, like, you're leaving friends behind, you're leaving pals behind, and you're going to Clarny. Are you googling Clarny and you're saying, God, what's this place like, and what's the school like, and what's the football team like, or do they play football at all, or what's the story?
Well, a few months before, we visited here on holiday, and we liked it, and then they were kind of deciding we should probably move to Ireland for a bit, and so we decided to move here.
Yeah, and Peter, when that opportunity comes around, I mean, obviously, I suppose a job opportunity, financial opportunity, opportunity to do better or whatever. You now have three kids with you as well. I mean, obviously, it's not that if 20 years ago you'd probably move. Is that a struggle? Was there a few nights saying, God, is it the right thing? Is it the wrong thing? Or was it just a case, listen, we'll go and do it and we'll see what happens?
Yeah, it was a bit of an adventure. I mean, COVID was a big part of it. They hadn't been back for 3 years, and family and stuff is important. So it was opportunity presented itself. And I've always liked Killarney because from Abbey Field, we would come back to Killarney for family events and stuff and pictures. And the kids had been here before. And it's just a great town. And our living here is confirmed that it is a great, great place to live.
So finally, Kieran, the tickets are bought. Off you go, fly, zoom across the Atlantic Ocean, arrive in Killarney. Do you arrive in the summer or the winter?
Summer.
Okay, well, at least it was the best time, to be fair. Yeah. You saw the best of it. And then, of course, you have, I suppose, you must find the school and you must find all the various things that go along with it. Was it hard to settle into the new school? The presentation one, Karen.
Well, a little bit, because in the US we actually didn't wear a uniform at all. And so coming to here, where that's where uniform is a bit hard to get used to. But yeah, also it was a mixed school in the US, which is one thing. Yeah. Here it's all boys.
Absolutely, and you were thrown into the mix straight away, and of course you weren't the average size of all the other boys, were you?
No,
you were about a foot ahead of most of them, were you?
Yeah.
What was your first day or two like in school?
Well, it was a bit hard, like I didn't really talk to anyone, but I slowly kind of started talking to people, made some friends. And
And what broke down that? What was it that broke it down? Was it when you were in the schoolyard and somebody threw a basketball to you, or was it kind of, you know, somebody asked you, could you play football, or how did that happen?
Height was one thing. People started asking me, like, how tall are you and stuff, and then basketball is another thing. In the yard, that I would just kind of shoot around the basketball, and they're like, oh, he's actually good, and then started talking to me a bit more.
Absolutely. And before you know it, you're joining the local athletics club.
Prior to that, I'd done no athletics at all, so it was kind of a new thing.
And Peter, when you're trying to settle the kids in, obviously I suppose you're looking at your work and you're looking at your new house and you're looking at how you can't get Wi-Fi and all these other kind of problems that go along with the whole thing. But obviously you kind of really say, listen, the kids must settle, the kids must kind of buy into this. How important was the sports culture, the fact of getting them back into clubs, maybe getting the social side of it as well? How important was that for you?
It's very important. We got here in August, so before school started. So we just saw in the local media there was a Killarney Valley Athletics camp. We started them off there. They had a great time. It happened to be the heat wave, if you remember, 2 years ago, August. Beautiful setting. Just they made a few friends from that, and they met them again in school, and it kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah. And of course, you thought he was a runner.
Yeah. he can move.
Not long distance.
But it turns out he's a thrower.
Yeah. Talk to me about that aspect. You go in and you obviously American, you must do the track and you must be able to run 400 metres in no time at all, or maybe even 1500 metres or even 3000 metres, and then some guy probably somewhere says, have you ever tried the shot put?
Yeah, well, basketball definitely helped with that, the strength from kind of, I guess, shooting the ball, passing the ball. That helped a lot. Running sprints I was alright at, but long distance I had no stamina at all, so I kind of took on throwing towards the beginning, and I was good at it. So we went to the Monsters. I won that, and then we went to the Ireland's. I came third that time, and I just wanted to get gold after that. So
God, so bronze wasn't good enough, Peter. You had to go back to stay another year in Ireland and get gold. Is
he worked. He worked hard at it, and he did well. So
He did well, and we'll talk a bit more about that after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're very welcome back to us here in Terrace Talk, all very with you until 8 o'clock this evening, and that's what the time is, flying out the door, and we're joined here by Kieran Maloney. I was going to say of the USA, but certainly of Killarney now, surely are you?
Yeah.
You put Killarney on the address. Come here, what do the Americans, in the inverted commas, think of you becoming an Irish person?
Well, they're proud of me. Like, some of them came to visit and watched me do shot put, and they enjoyed watching it.
Is it a million miles from what you were 3 years ago thinking? I mean, has it turned out better than you thought it was going to turn out? I mean, obviously, I suppose you still have loads of good friends over as well that you keep in contact on social media and the whole lot, and you're probably telling them, what do they say when you send them a text? Look, that's me. I'm actually the champion of Ireland at under 14.
They were proud too. I mean, like 3 years ago, I never thought I'd be Ireland shot put champion.
Yeah. Kinda, it is amazing. And I mean, it is a sport that can kind of probably fast track you as well. Would you do a lot of training for it now? And would you be very specific about what you do? Or are you looking ahead to under 16s? Are you looking ahead to even further? Or are you looking ahead to throw it further? Or?
Yeah, twice a week I work with Coach Tom in Clonard Valley. We kind of progress. And yeah, I'll keep working at it until, I don't know, I guess under 16s, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Peter, it seems the move has really worked. I mean, obviously, I mean, we're looking into the sporting context, but you have more in the family, of course.
Yes, we do, yeah. Kieran's the middle guy. We've got an older boy, Finn, who's in Killarney Community College. He does Killarney Valley as well. He's a javelin specialist at this point. He's got a sister, Addie, who's 10, and she's at the Mercy. And she likes horse riding, and she also joined Killarney Valley. So we've kind of joined the club en masse.
Yeah, she'd be a real modern pentathlon kind of people.
Yeah.
A bit of horse riding, bit of running,
keeps them active,
and
them
the
active.
Whole lot. Come here, you're from Abbeyfield yourself, of course.
I am, yeah.
How long have you gone to America?
19 years in America, but I was in other places before that. I was in Taiwan for a while, and France and the UK, usual kind of Irish stomping grounds.
Yeah.
Yep. And I went to the States in 03, and we came back 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, travelled a fair bit, but good to be back.
And when you were over there, obviously the GA is the thing people talk about, and my God, like Abbeyfield, good football up in Abbeyfield as well. Are you looking at that while you're over there? Do you kind of fall into that community?
I followed it, yeah. I mean, we weren't in a big city, so it was kind of hard to get, like, he wouldn't have been able to play on a team because it wouldn't be the population. But my background, like my dad played football, county football, he won a county medal in Limerick, and we would have played as kids. I wasn't any good, but when I went to Taiwan after college, we started a Gaelic football tournament, which became the Asia Gaelic Games. So
which
I got into that.
Absolutely huge now.
Yeah, no, it's great.
They bust them out nearly, the referee.
Yeah,
there's
only four cities in Asia that can host it apparently at this stage. Yeah, it's a great success.
It got so big. What was the first one like?
It was a very small scale.
Yeah.
I think we had like 8 teams, and it was mostly Irish. But today we have up to 1,000 players, and maybe 60% are non-Irish, which is great.
So when your grandfather has won a Limerick County medal, there's pressure on Kieran Maloney to join a team. So what team in Clarny did you decide to pick?
Clarny Legion.
Oh wow. Was that a debated one now, or were the Crokes in the mix at all, or did
his sister plays for Crokes, so it's a fairly touchy
fairly
topic
balanced.
Now so we maybe stay away from that for a second.
Right, so she throws the elbows about when you're going down. Come here, what was your first night blowing the Legion like?
Well, I got invited from one of our basketball coaches, Owen McSweeney. He asked if I just wanted to go up and check it out.
He kind of poached you now, to be fair, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't really ask you, though. He probably had the forms ready for you after the first night of basketball. But anyway, off down you went.
Yeah, and I looked at it. I mean, I kind of practiced a bit before just to, you know, see what it was like. I never actually imagined playing for a club, but when I went up.
They threw you in the football team in school, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they did this year, yeah.
Yeah. Well, even back in the poor old man, they shoved you up full forward, I think.
Yeah.
And they experienced. But what was your first game like for the Legion?
It was good. It was more intense than I thought, I guess, for that
age. More pressure on the parents who are watching now, and the little sister who plays for Crokes is watching, and probably not supporting you at all, was she?
Yeah, yeah. Well, at first I couldn't kick a ball at all. I probably can't really still, but I've improved, I think. And soloing too was a bit hard, but still I've improved a bit, yeah.
Are you out the backyard soldering really secretly, are you? It's kind of hard when you're... What height are you, Kieran?
6 foot now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big height. Come here, basketball, obviously. Big sport, very good at it. You're progressing well there as well?
Yeah. There's a big step down from intensity versus the US in here. Like, US, you go to facilities with, like, 40 courts and, like, noises coming everywhere, refs blowing the whistle. Here, it's, like, one court and like a few angry parents in the stands.
Yeah, yeah. There's always a few angry parents in the stands, to be fair. And you're playing the games and you're getting on and you're playing up a grade as well, which is fantastic. What was the standard like from here to home? I mean, obviously you were talking about a bit more intense at home. Is the game played a little bit more differently here, or are you, because you're the 6 foot big kid, there's a bit more pressure on you, or you expect to do things that maybe you might or mightn't be able to do?
It is a little bit more physical here. That's because of football, like shouldering and stuff. There's a lot more of that here. But in the US, I was also tall for my age, so there's not that big, like, positions. There's not that much of a difference. But I guess I was kind of, for my height, I was kind of involved a bit more here.
Yeah. Go back to the shot, but obviously national champion, and I suppose we probably have kind of really haven't given it its full title. I mean, do you sit down at night and say, I am the national champion of this country that my father dragged me back to 3 years ago, that all my relatives are? I mean, does that kind of seep in, does it? Does that kind of say, God, I'm kind of invincible here, am I?
I guess a bit, yeah.
Yeah, it is great. Come here, to complete the circle, Peter, what would your granddad say to your grandson?
Oh, I'm sure he'd be very proud of him, and he'd probably give him tips on how to steal the ball and be physical. He liked to advise us on that, but he'd be proud of him. It's like, you know, it's a transition and it's a challenge, but I think as a kid you probably are more up for it.
Yeah. And do you call the visitors tourists now when they come home, or are they family?
It depends. Some have been over a lot, others have only visited once, but they're all welcome.
Yeah. Oh, they're all, and the more, and the rest
more than
you know, the rest that you haven't found. Come here, look, it's a fantastic story. It's a great story. It's great that we can share a story like this as well. Because obviously we're telling the stories normally, Peter, of, oh, did you hear about the guy from South Kerry who's over in New York and he's winning the whole lot? And we don't see that much in the reverse. And Dr. Crokes, we better mention that another time. How did that come about? How did she sneak into Dr. Crokes?
Well, I think both of them followed their friends, and they just happened to be going different directions. But we've made peace with that now. And
That's not going to be fun in 10 years' time.
Yeah, right? I know. So I try not to think that far ahead about it now. But it's competitive, so that's good.
Okay. And Kieran, what are the hopes for the near future? Are you going to throw further? Are you going to move up a grade, or what's Coach Tom planning with you?
I guess just keep working at it, and eventually just keep working the nationals, hopefully keep winning golds, and I guess just see where that takes us.
Absolutely. I think we'll finish on that. That's absolutely fantastic. Peter and Kieran, listen, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you. It's great to have you.
And for all the tourists that might be listening out there in all across America and the whole lot, listen, absolutely fantastic. And I think it's a great way to finish a show. That we had a great second hour, to be fair. Big congratulations yet again to the Kerry Senior Hurlers and their win in the Joe McDonough. As I said, very few people saw it coming. We had Bill Keenan here this evening, one of the players on the team. He certainly saw it coming, and hopefully they can do the job against Down next week. And of course, the Kerry footballers, even though we started the first hour on a bit of a somber note, we are in the Munster final. Don't worry, lads, we have clear to come in 2 weeks' time, and we'll do a lot of preview on that. Big welcome to Mary. She's after rambling in there all the way from Galway via somewhere in North Kerry, and she's selling tickets now and everything for music concerts and everything like that. She'll stop you on the way out. Talks us on after 8 o'clock. Yeah, I'm going to get €2 for that now, certainly. Keane, well done this evening, answering phones and looking after the sound and wearing a Kerry jersey as well. Fantastic. Almost a national champion, but he fell at the last hurdle as well. And Ivan as well, thanks as usual. We will do it all again next week. See you then.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.